live here at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The Champions League returns here this evening. Villarreal of Spain, the visitors, and this was all made possible by that incredible run in the Europa League for Spurs last season, as everything was falling apart at home domestically in the Premier League. 22 defeats out of 38 league games. They managed to forge their way through the Europa League all the way to the final, and my next guest has written a book about that run, Miracle in Bilbao. Tom Barkley, it's a great pleasure to have you join us. You've got that one out very quickly. You were, as I was saying, you were there every step of the way, pretty much, weren't you, last season?
Pretty much, Andy. Thanks for having me on. Yes, it was a mad summer trying to write that up. For once, I didn't have a major tournament to go to, so what did I do? I wrote a book instead. My wife was delighted by that. But, I know, it felt like such a unique season. I can't really think of any like it in Premier League history where, you know, a team has been so bad in the Premier League and done so well in Europe. Yes, you could maybe argue a sort of Wigan when they won the FA Cup and got relegated, but the standing of Tottenham, you know, I don't really compare it. And it was just remarkable the way they sort of turned it round in that competition against serious adversity, Ange Postecoglou, and then obviously he got sacked anyway. So it felt like it demanded a book written about it.
As you said, there's just so many dimensions to it, but it reads like a diary, doesn't it? Because it sort of starts with, I mean, you give the scene from the season before, which has got a lot to do with it, how Ange came in and that amazing run when he first started, and then how it started to unravel with that Chelsea game. So you sort of set the tone with that, and then it runs like a diary report for each month as you go through the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably because of the time constraints, that was the only way to write it, but I probably would have written it that way anyway, because you had the sort of prologue, which is his first season, that's sort of all done in the past tense, and like you say, scene setting, all the context around that crazy Chelsea game, the amazing start, the way things had started to fray towards the end of that season, particularly with that Man City game, which you might well remember, where if they'd beaten them, then Arsenal may have won the league. What a strange game that was. And then from then on, it's basically sort of month by month, done in a sort of present tense to ideally take you right back into it as a Spurs fan, you know, every step of the way. Yes, there's a lot of pain throughout that season. Hopefully, I wouldn't be surprised if during the sort of December, January months, there was a bit of skim reading on that front, because it was difficult from a Spurs perspective. Yeah. But obviously, it has an absolutely glorious, I wouldn't say finale, because obviously there's the what happens after to Ange, but you know, obviously in Bilbao, that's the key part of the book. That's the longest chapter, really going through everything on that day, how Ange, you know, motivated the team, going through all the bits and pieces I and my other colleagues have done throughout the year, as well as hopefully some fresh insight, you know, after the fact, to try and give a bit more, shed a bit more light on how it was all achieved.
I really enjoyed as well, because you mentioned quite early that there's a real protagonist in this, and right from the word go, when you were out in Asia, you know, some of the comments that he was making about how he'd come to be in the job, how it was a bit like going to Hollywood auditions, and he went right back to, you know, working under a very, very famous coach at the start of his playing career as well.
Yes, Ferenc Puskás is who you're alluding to. Obviously, you know, one of the most iconic footballers in the history of the game. But by the time Ange came to work with him, or play under him rather, he wasn't quite the as spelt as he once was, put it that way, when he was coaching a team over in Australia. And Ange, because of obviously his Greek heritage and the fact that Ferenc Puskás didn't speak English, but he did speak passable Greek, he acted as not only his captain, but also effectively his translator. And there's a good story that he's told about being in his sort of clapped out old car trying to drive him to the airport, which was quite amusing. But it's not just, I think that's important context as well, because Puskás was such a influence on the way he saw the game. You know, for better or worse, Spurs fans will remember, you know, some of the madcap matches with so many goals, so many goals conceded. A lot of that comes from Puskás's influence on Ange. And now he's obviously back in the game with Nottingham Forest. It feels quite timely.
I like the line that you used about a season, because this really summed it up for me, and I hadn't been able to put it into words myself, but a season that had puzzlement and joy in equal measure. I mean, I think that so many Spurs fans will remember being, what on earth is going on at times last season, but then to have such an outpouring of joy, over 200,000 people on the streets around here celebrating, just an incredible, as you said, a twist at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, I feel it's such a unique campaign that, as you point out, people will look at, they'll just be baffled by how it all sort of came about. And I think, having covered Spurs for a few years and obviously followed them, you know, for a long, long time, you just never know when the next trophy's coming. Maybe this is the groundwork for a golden age that's coming. Maybe it isn't. But whatever happens, you can never take away what happened in Bilbao, even with the sort of crazy Premier League campaign that came with it. And I wanted to try and capture that in a sense that fans can hopefully, whatever happens next, will always have that, and they can always dip back into it and hopefully be brought right back into those feelings they felt going to Bilbao, thinking we must win, we have to win, we've got to save our season. And the way Andrew's, you know, his legacy really at Tottenham was on a knife edge going into that final. Obviously we remember Clowngate with my good friend Dan Kilpatrick, and who suddenly became quite a key figure, and I know he's, you know, he's someone that I know very well, and he probably regrets how he phrased that, but he did the point that he made.
He really singled out poor Dan.
He did. I was sitting next to him when it happened. And he did. And don't worry, the two of them are made up afterwards, good. So it's all good. But he was making a valid point. Maybe the words he used weren't quite right, but had Ange lost that, I mean, what a terrible... There's no way I would have written a book had he lost that game, put it that way, because no one would want him to reflect on that game had they not won. But obviously they did.
The game is about glory. You also talk about that famous quotation, Danny Blanchflower. Mm-hmm. But you also say that has kind of been, given the long time they were waiting for a trophy, that had kind of been twisted as well, because when he said it, it was at a time where Tottenham were right at the peak of their power.
Yeah, I was intrigued by that quote because, you know, I've been at the games for the last few years, obviously, particularly the Man United game in February with this mass protest outside, and you can't help but notice those banners that say the game is about glory, and it was meant as a... It was used as a pointed dig towards Daniel Levy and the ownership here. And then when I read up about the meaning behind when Danny Blanchflower first used it, it wasn't actually meant in terms of, you know, winning at all costs. It was about aesthetic beauty and winning in a certain way. So there's a certain irony about the way it's used here, because it, in the sort of 17 years since the last trophy, it had become, to a certain extent, about winning at all costs, about winning a trophy. That was the stick that was used to beat Daniel Levy with more than anything, about the lack of silverware here. Obviously, the book finishes when Daniel Levy's still in post, and unfortunately, yeah, as it came out, whilst it was good from a sort of publicity perspective to make Tottenham very newsworthy, the book had already gone to the publishers by the time he'd left. But it makes for sort of fascinating sort of reflecting on this massive figure, Daniel Levy, and also Ange Postecoglou, who are both neither here anymore, which is strange to think.
And I think you said, like, you're rarely going to get any season like that, just a complete roller coaster. And I think I was reading earlier that no team has ever finished as low as Tottenham have in the table and qualified for European's top club competition, which kind of sums up just what a bizarre set of circumstances it was last season when they were crawling along in February and March, and everything was hanging on that European run that ended in Bilbao.
Yeah, absolutely. You're taking me right back to being in the Bodeglimt press room in that very tiny stadium, which I'll be going back to very soon. Yeah. It wasn't actually as cold as you think, but I'm sure it can be from what I'm told. I think the Man City press boys, when they're looking at January this year, thinking, what are we in for? But obviously that was the time when Arsene Wenger's comments had come out about how Spurs and Man United, if they'd won, they didn't deserve to be in the Champions League, and properly pushed back on it. But it does underline what a sort of remarkable turn of events that this almost like... trapdoor they've managed to get through to get back into this to sneak their way into this competition. But still, you know, you can say what you want about Postecoglou and some of the, obviously the league form last year is pretty indefensible, but there have been many other managers that have tried to win trophies here, and it hasn't happened for a very long time, and he did deliver it.
Do you feel that in the years to come that there might be another little sort of story, a bit like obviously it'll probably never be quite as so many ups and downs as that one, but do you feel that Tottenham might have you know, more stories to tell over the next few years with the way Thomas Frank is sort of getting his feet under the table?
100%. I think Spurs are endlessly, you know, newsworthy, sometimes too much at times. I mean, Thomas Frank has come in and he's very quickly shown quite a lot of differences to Ange Postecoglou in his style of play, whether it be a focus on set pieces, whether it be tactical adaptation a lot of the time, and maybe in the press conferences so far, whilst he speaks very well, there isn't quite as much. He's probably not quite as quotable as Ange, but it's a hard person to judge him against, because I think Postecoglou, he's up there as maybe the most quotable manager in the history of the Premier League. Has got to be up there in that sense. But he's obviously had a very good start. That isn't unique for Tottenham managers. I mean, just think Nuno Espirito Santo had an unbelievable start and was sacked after 17 games. I don't think that's going to happen when it comes to Thomas Frank. And I think there's been a real sort of calmness about his approach, which suggests this does have a very good chance of being something to last. But yeah, no doubt there'll be. There's a possibility of a sequel at some point, put it that way.
That would be good. The second season, as Andrew would call it, or a third season. Yeah, that was great stuff. I really look forward to seeing how it goes. I'm sure the Tottenham fans will hang on every word. Miracle in Bilbao out now. Tom Barkley, thanks very much indeed. And love the mention to Paul Jiggins as well, in the book as well. Your
absolutely
predecessor.
Indeed.
That's the son.
Absolute legend.
He would have loved that story as well. Thanks very
much
indeed.
Thank you very much.